Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are glad that we can enter into your gates with thanksgiving, Lord, be in your presence with praise from our hearts, knowing that we have a knowledge that passes understanding, and we know it is something that has been accomplished for us, even though explained after the fact. We're glad it is that way, knowing that we stand as Paul's converts did when he let the people know that his ministry was proven and vindicated for miles and miles around. It was irrefutable proof that he had, that he was that servant of God, that even those who listened to him were just as though they had listened to Jesus and credited their account to believe in the day of judgment going against those who did not believe. For Lord, repeating those days tonight, we know it's fallen our lot to be among those and with those who believe such as in the Word. And though others shun it, we thank you for it, Lord. May our hearts be open tonight and our spiritual eyes and understanding illuminate us, we pray, for your glory, Lord, but for our great and eternal good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're over here in number 12 of God, the God of this evil age. And in this message that we are studying, literally word by word, we are assured by Brother Branham as a vindicated prophet. In other words, a man with a vindicated word interpretation or vindicated word revelation. And that's a whole lot different from simply knowing that this Bible is a vindicated, truly God-given word. But to have somebody come and reveal to us the exact understanding and meaning is in itself a most marvelous thing, as Brother Branham said. Just think. The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing the word. And that takes a lot of believing. It takes a lot of understanding and faith in the scripture to really put that into our hearts and keep it there. So we see that Brother Branham was a vindicated prophet with a vindicated word revelation ministry that speaking to us that though Eve's actual and physically manifested sin of disobedience was a sexual act, he shows us the act itself was not of itself as to its origin, but because she allowed Satan to anoint her mind with vain words and take her straight away from the truly revealed word unto reasoning, which is the basis for our conclusions that become ultimate principles as we review scripture and life, particularly in the light of nature and our understanding of things in this present realm. Now, to go over that with you, what I'm saying very basically is here that that though Eve actually entered into an illicit sexual act with Satan, that is the beast, because he was identified, Satan was identified with that serpent, and brought forth Cain, the act in itself was not of itself original. In other words, you just don't look at that act. What you do, you've got to go behind it and say, now, what is behind it? And you understand then that Satan actually anointed her spirit with his word. And that's what we're looking at here, that the Word is the conduit of the Spirit, both for God and Satan. And so when Brother Branham speaks of the woman, her spirit being anointed with an evil spirit or a dirty spirit, speaking of the conditions which exist today, typing the church, seen in women, we'll talk about that. You have to come to the realization then that he reasoned with her. And the reasoning was where she began to depart from the Word of God. Now, that same reasoning process is in the world today, and sadly, it's in the church. Now, if it weren't in the church, it wouldn't be so bad. But it is in the church. And what we find today is that people by reasoning draw conclusions. And those conclusions are written in a book. And they're called the doctrines of the church, and they become the ultimate. And this is why you have a Laodicean complex at the very end time. because people are trying to get their answers from other sources than a divine revelation of the Word. Now, the Word of God reasons from the invisible to the visible. But education cannot contend with the invisible, so it draws anti-word conclusions as to the invisible, starting with Godhead, concerning Godhead's personality, characteristics, and authority. And that's just exactly what they do. That's why you got a Trinitarian God. You don't have a singular God. You don't have a God who is spirit who has a Son. And He's not God the Son, He's the Son of God. That's right. My Son is my Son. He is not the Father. Paganism is what lies in the world through Trinitarianism. Now, education in failing to define the source of life and in its failure turns from a vindicated word, enshrines its own hypotheses which contradict the Word of God and exalt it above the Word of God. And that's where Satan steps in, because that's where he stepped in. He causes people to reason. Now, this all came from Satan as he approached Eve and she listened. And it is Satan anointing his own word, which is God's word perverted, that invaded Eve's mind, anointed her spirit, and made her the first child of disobedience. In other words, a child of disobedience is a child of unbelief. She didn't believe the Word of God. She turned from it, and therefore she died. Now, the church has consistently denied the Word and turned to its own channels of education and thereby enthroned Satan and exalted him and will eventually accept his fullness in the beast who rules the entire world. Now, I realize that people aren't just too happy about that. They don't like to think that that's the way it is. But that is the way it is. Now, before we start to read over here where I left off, I want to turn back with you, if you care to Isaiah chapter 28. And we read a little something here that might be interesting. Beginning at verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. That would be the Sheol. And you could even call it the grave if you wanted a covered over place. With hell we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be annulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you'll be trodden down by it. Now you'll notice in Jerusalem, in about 70 A.D., Titus thoroughly destroyed the city. And no matter what those people said concerning that they would have refuge, their refuge was in lies, and it was all swept away. Now, see, they put it not the cornerstone. And you will notice that the cornerstone is the headstone in a different position. Now, at the end time, they bring to naught the headstone, or the capstone, spiritually speaking now, setting him at naught, according to Hebrews chapter 6, taking refuge in lies. Now, what is the lie? It's a misinterpreted, misapplied word of God. And it just isn't going to work. Now, God says, I'm going to sweep it away. Now, you notice, he swept it away at the time of what we call A.D. 3033, he swept it away by vindication. And remember, they took everything at that particular time that Jesus did. It was okay to heal the sick and raise the dead, of course, as long as it was within the confines of the interpretation of the church. Now, They couldn't stand him because of what he said. There's no way that they would listen to him. Today, it is the same, because Alpha is Omega, and you cannot change it. The very presence of Jesus Christ, risen from the dead in the form of the Holy Spirit, coming back to the earth, doing what he did when he was back there in the days of the flesh, the people will take it. There is no church that will not receive it as long as it is within the confines of their own understanding. Now, what is going to happen to this age? This age, once more, will have, as it did in Jesus' day, the son of perdition, Judas, who was able to do everything the other apostles did, the other 11, by the anointing that Jesus gave them. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, do all of those things, and Judas did them. Then, at the Last Supper and the foot washing, Satan entered into Judas, making him the man of sin, or that iniquitous one, that lawless one. You've got the same thing right today in organization. The very same thing. You have the anointing of the Holy Spirit with gifts of the Spirit. The Catholic Church accepts it. About every church, I guess, except the Church of Christ, and they're so dead they wouldn't accept anything. They've already enshrined the devil. You can say what you want, but the church is 100% antichrist. They blaspheme the Holy Ghost like the Nazarenes, and even worse. And the Christian Missionary Alliance, those churches, a lot of Baptist churches have blasphemed the Holy Ghost, calling these actual manifested gifts of the devil. You can't do that and get away with it. I don't care who you are. You think, well, that's because I did it. Well, I can do it. Can you? Hey, I've got news for you. Maybe too late already to repent. You be careful what you say. So you see here in the book of Isaiah, we have this of the cornerstone. Now remember, the cornerstone becomes the headstone because it's the same stone. That cornerstone is in the Gentile church. It left Israel, who built the foundation. The Gentile church came. And what laid the cornerstone? The Gentile church. Jesus Christ, in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire, came down to the Apostle Paul, knocked him flat off of his horse, blinded the man for a while, and said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. He said, what'll I do? Why, he said, you go where there's this fellow Ananias down Straight Street, and he'll come to you, and he'll lay hands on you, and you'll receive your sight, having received the Holy Ghost. Then God took him to the wilderness for a length of time in Arabia, and there he gave him the actual word that you and I have in this book, and we must come back to according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. You got to come back to it. There's no way you can evade it. Now, this time he is the headstone. For the same pillar of fire came down and anointed William Branham, who has the same testimony, I am vindicated. That's what Paul said. What do you expect Paul to say? Shall we argue the thing out? Shall we play a deck of cards or something, cast the lots? God sends prophets. And those prophets come a certain way, and they're vindicated. Now, in the day of Paul, they had already left the truth. He said, I've espoused you as a virgin to Christ. But he said, already you're defiled. You've got another Jesus, another spirit, another word. Did you know what I'm talking about tonight, you people, the seriousness of this question? 2,000 years ago, they already had a mess. What do you think we got today? Well, Brother Vail, you don't know my bag of apples. You see, I found 3 rotten apples in my bag, but the thing is, nothing's going to happen to those other apples. In fact, 10 weeks from now, Brother Vail, I'm going to show you, my apples are better than ever. I say, oh boy, what are you going to do with those apples? Are you going to radiate them? Well, that'll do it. They ain't fit to eat, they'll kill you, man. How do you expect in 2,000 years to have hardly a vestige of the Word of God? And yet it's commanded, according to Paul, that you will participate in Christ glorifying himself in his saints according to believing his witness or his testimony. You know, listen, you've got to come to the time when you come to an ultimate. The churches have made their ultimate based upon a reasoning. How much reasoning did Paul do when God had to fulfill by revelation the Old Testament to him? Paul said, everything I learned I counted manure. You got to realize that today if we have somebody, it's got to be somebody that has to bypass every church and every seminary. He's got to come out. He's got to be some kind of a man that God can deal with, the same as he dealt with Paul, to bring us the same word. That has to be a prophet. See? Okay. The church that once started in the strength of the word now stands in the shambles by the lie. It's wretched, miserable, naked and blind, and doesn't know it. Its own testimony of self-conceit is, we're rich, increased in goods, and don't lack a thing. Now, how in the world, if that is the true case of the church, and it is, and Christ has been put outside, how is he going to have any influence? He will not have any influence in the church. The church is going to have to go without the gate and suffer as Christ suffered without the gate outside the city. And the city, listen, the city spoken of, Jerusalem, has been called Babylon. Spiritual. We know today the city Babylon is Rome, set upon seven hills. She is a prostitute and she has many daughters. And the daughters are all one with her. So it is, as Revelation 18:4 said, come out of her, my people. Now, all right, Brother Branham has just spoken up here in about, paragraph, maybe 103 or something in that area. He's just spoken of the evening light from the book of Zechariah, and the sun shining from east to west, of course, in the book of Matthew, which is bringing the vindicated Son of Man ministry to us, as the basis of a new and true message, the truly revealed Word of God, which is rejected. And he lets us know, as Eve fell and Christ's bride fell by refusing revelation and favored education, such as was set forth by the beast in Eden, taking her from Eden, and the beast was there, and from the presence of God, and the beast was there, in the presence of God. And he was there in the presence of the tree of life. Now let's look in the book of Revelation and find that. Because that's exactly what it says in Revelation 22, which is, the book of Revelation at one time was nothing to me, but a sure great book now. It says in verse 10, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. All right, since Revelation 10:4, when he said sealed it, something happens before Revelation 22:10. Actually, it's Revelation 10:7. Something happens. The book is unsealed. And at that time, the book cannot be resealed. So it's an open book. As the Bible said, there was a time when there was no open revelation. That time is not now. There is an open revelation. The book is revealed. Now watch what it says. At that time, what's at hand? Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. Now that's actually, as far as I can understand, the literal coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Physically. At this time of the opening of the seals, he that is unjust still. He that's filthy still. He that's righteous still. He that's holy, holy still. So therefore, the book that came down that was in the hand of him that sat upon the throne in Revelation 4:5 chapters, where the Lamb comes from behind the throne off the mercy seat, tears the seals off the book, hands it back to the one on the throne, climbs upon the throne of the one sitting on the throne. The one sitting on the throne comes down with the book open. It is the book of redemption. Because it's right here. He that's filthy, filthy still. He that's righteous, righteous still. It's an open and shut book in the sense of knowing who is in that book. Now, you don't have to know the names. The sheep hear the voice. He calls them all by name. The sheep hear the voice. This is where Brother Branham said, when God's son and daughter fell, he didn't trust an archangel. He came down himself, and he does the same thing right here. Now he said, behold, I come quickly, my reward's with me. To give a man according to his word should be, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And blessed are they not who do his commandments, wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. So you're right back where? You are right back in the presence of the tree of life that Eve had in her hand to be fulfilled, and she turned it down for Satan's wisdom, which was carnal reasoning, not a vindication. See what I'm driving at. Now listen, Satan stood there before the tree of life. He stood there as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The same thing exists today. And you'll see that Brother Branham is showing there's an opportunity for a bride who will not let that word go. But the church will let the word go. Now, that they have the right to the tree of life, that's immortality, and may enter into the gates into the city. Well, that lets you know a little clue right here. If you make the resurrection, if you become immortal, it's a cinch. You wonder, say, well, what can happen from this point? Nothing but straight on into New Jerusalem, part of the bride. See, because this, they may enter through the gates. Then what is the gate? The gate is the open, unsealed book. If you want to come in, you got to come in that way. Now take it back to Paul. And what is the true unsealing? It is bringing us the true revelation that God gave Paul. And you're not going to figure it by the Greek. I think this fellow, I think his name is Zacchaeus. He's a Greek. And he preaches from the fundamental viewpoint. He says a lot of wonderful things. But, hey, the revelation isn't there. Because it takes the Holy Spirit of God. The same one that gave it to Paul would have to tell it back. Now he says, for without her dogs, that's male prostitutes, and you know that today that the homosexuals are running the world, and sorcerers, that's your type by your pharmacists who give you the wrong drugs, the poisons, and all those things, you know, the poison word, the whoremongers, you know, they get you to join churches, and murderers, they destroy your souls, idolaters, they get you idolizing the devil, and whosoever, and you could even use that word and in there, not as a conjunction, but as a preposition to bring them all in, even whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That's where it all came from. You know? Okay. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I'm the root and offspring of David. The bright and morning star, the spirit and the bride say come, and so on. And then it says, I testify to man that hears the words of the prophecy of the book, verse 18. If any man add to these things, God will add the plagues. Now that's the great tribulation. If any man take away the words of the book of the prophecy, God will take away his part of the book of life. That's at the white throne. So you can see here that we are not given something that we can fool with. We have to be very, very careful. Now we're going to keep reading here on Brother Branham's message and see some of the things maybe we can pick up. Now Brother Branham talking here in 105, I just want to read that rapidly because I went over it the last time. The same sun that rises in the east, is the same sun that sets in the west. Now that's the light shining from east to west. The prophet said there'll be a day that couldn't be called day or night. It's dismal. The clouds are over the face of the sun. But he said about evening time it shall come light again. The same sun. He's Alpha and Omega. Now to let you know that what was back there will repeat. And that's what the book of Matthew tells us. Now, I don't know. People are sitting here that I don't think I've met. And maybe you don't understand some of these things we're saying. So I'm going to be a little, do what I usually, I don't usually do, and I don't like to do, because I like to start moving and just keep sweeping from where I am and not go back. But I want to read you something for you folks. Maybe you haven't had this thoroughly explained to you. Over here in the 12th chapter of Matthew, which is a fantastic chapter, here is Jesus. healing the sick multitudes following him. He charged them should not make him known. Now verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." Now tell me, when did Jesus ever go to the Gentiles? He never went to the Gentiles. Now we're talking about something concerning a man that's standing there, that's over 30 years of age. He's Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of Man. Here he is. Now said of him, judgment to the Gentiles. That never happened then. Now let's keep reading. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. Hogwash. When he was back there, he strove. He cooked them out of the temple. He lacerated their backs. You say he didn't strive? He did strive. All right. It says right here, he shall not cry. He shall not cry. He didn't cry. He cried. Everyone that thirst. John 7, 37 to 39, the great day of the feast. He lift up his voice and cried. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Then it says, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. He preached in the streets. Then that's not the man Jesus in the flesh. It's the same Son of God in the form of the Holy Spirit, a pillar of fire. Before his incarnation, he went back to what he was. And now he comes down here. Notice, a bruised reed shall he not break. Well, if he didn't break Israel and finish it, you tell me what he didn't do. The smoking flax he shall not quench. They never took the oil. They turned it down flat. It's finished. You think for 1 minute Moses and Elijah go back to Israel, they're going to preach the law. They're going to preach Christ and him crucified. He'll come and show his hands and his feet and his riven side. We're not going to get somebody law washing pots and pans. No. No. Now listen. Till he send forth victory, judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Amen. It tells you right there that that one would have to turn to the Gentiles. And as Brother Branham said, the Bible clearly declares that what he did in his flesh, in the days of his flesh, for Israel, he must do for the Gentiles. And this is exactly where he got it from. And he's done it. Say, well, I don't think I believe that. Why, listen, that's your privilege. I'm not trying to make converts. I just preach to those who already believe. I'm here to clinch the nail that was already driven in. I don't have a message of my own. I wouldn't bother after hearing Brother Branham. That's you know, that would be so ridiculous. Same sun that rose in the east was predicted to rise in the west again in the last days before the day was over. That's the days of the Son of Man, Luke 17. I don't know how they interpret it. God interprets his own word. He proves it. This is the evening time. He said, look, I didn't figure this thing out. He said, I'm not trying to stand up here as though I know something from somebody. He said, I am just the mouthpiece of God. I know no more about this than nothing, but he told me. That's exactly what Paul said. Paul was vindicated. This thing's a mess, isn't it? Paul was vindicated. But so was Brother Branham, absolutely vindicated. I'd like to see somebody that can go ahead and do what he did. Give me one, thus saith the Lord. One proof, one evidence, they can't do it. But the Pentecostal tell you, oh, we have thus saith the Lord, thus saith God. I'd like to see him stand up and prove it. Amen. It's sad, but she sure fell for it again. Christ's bride fell for it and took the intellectual knowledge of some seminary preacher instead of believing the pure vindicated word of God. Now, ministers out yonder in the land, wherever you are, you might disagree with this. I'm not hurting you. I'm just trying to help. I'm talking to my own group. That's the way I feel. I've got nothing for somebody else out there. If they want to listen, be glad to listen. I can't do a thing for anybody. Just the Word of God can do it. If you want to sit in, I'll sure be glad to have you hear it. Then you listen to it, see? But I'm just telling them. Now, what they have seen, that means after the fact. See? And showing it to them, God proving it that it's right. Now, you know that Deuteronomy 18. When a prophet comes in the name of the Lord, and the thing that he says come to pass, that is the one that comes from God. And you'll notice also, he always just goes plumb to the Word. He just sticks word by word. He doesn't take you out here to Book of Mormons or the Talmud or something else. It's always with the Word. Takes you right to the Word. Now see, this is the hour. He doesn't need anybody to interpret it. Your worldly knowledge doesn't have a thing to do with it. You might have a BA or a DD or something else, whatever it might be. Doesn't mean one thing. God interprets His Word Himself. He promised it. Here it is. Now that's exactly the truth. God interprets His Word. He takes His promise, brings it manifested, and exactly how it is according to His own mind and heart, and that's exactly how it is done. Now, 108, here's where we should really start. But the knowledge of seminary, or the seminary and knowledge, that which comes from the seminary, some Bible college, denomination preaching, has caused the whole world to wonder after the beast whose deadly wound was healed from pagan to papal. See where she's heading up? She believes it. She believes the knowledge that he tells her. And Brother Branham mentions this, of course, you know that he's referring to the 13th chapter of Revelation, wherein he says America builds the image to the beast. And you'll see in Revelation 13 chapter that this is identical to Daniel. And I saw upon the sand of the sea, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, upon his horns 10 crowns, upon his head the name of blasphemy. Now this is a blasphemous creature. Now remember, in the book of Daniel, it was the fourth of a world empire, wherein in the fourth world empire there would be the one descend from heaven as a rock cut without hands from the mountain, and after it he grind to dust the last vestige of this earth's civilization and government, destroying all those who destroy the earth, so there's not one vestige left, not one speck of dust that hasn't been licked somehow on the earth. So the saints can come back in the millennium. Tells you right here. And now the beast I saw was like a leopard. And his feet of a bear. The mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power. And his seat in great authority. Now it tells you at the end time, and you've got to bring Daniel in with Revelation, this end time empire is going to have a tremendous figure over it. The last great dictator, king, what do you want to call him? He's actually a pope. I saw one of his heads were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Okay, you see right here now where this empire, this represented here by this creature with these heads, actually was wounded. Actually to death. In plain English, it ceased in the form of which it was. Which was actually Rome going to the Holy Roman Empire, then becoming, as we know today, the same empire under cloaks of cover, which is really a papal empire, because there's no place where Rome is not. You've got to just understand, Rome is Rome, and it's in Italy. Now, it's not Cincinnati with 7 hills, and it's not Moscow with 7 hills. Because they don't have a thing to do with this written way back there. See? Now, it was already extant. So he's talking about the extant looking to the future. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is there to make war with him? Now listen, you'll notice, it lets you know here that war caused the wound. It was war and decimation by the Goths, the Visigoths, and all the rest that came down there that knocked Rome for a loop. Put them right out. But remember, at that time, right after Jesus, they were given the opportunity to become Pontifex Maximus, which was the leader of the Babylonian religion, and when the emperors didn't want it, the Pope took it. That's why he's the great Pope. He's called the Vicar of Jesus Christ, which is, it means instead of Christ. So now it tells you here that this great empire has a beast. And remember, the Bible speaks at the end time that men become natural brute beasts. The seed runs out. No more election. Who is like unto him? There's nobody, because he's got his full force and authority from the greatest power outside of God, when you talk about world events and affairs, which is the devil. See? Now, if Judas could betray Jesus and put him to death, don't think this guy can't do plenty. Has given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power given to him to continue 42 months, that's your 3.5 years. He opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and so on. And it says in verse 8, and all nations and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain the foundation of the world. You can see right in there at the end time, there's a horrible danger. That there are going to be those, all except those, found in that book of redemption, coming right on down, part of that bride, are going to have serious problems. If any man hear, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be with the sword be killed. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. In other words, this kingdom is going to end just the same as it said over there in the book of Daniel. Now, I won't read any more. I could read to verse 18, but I don't want to go there. I just want to go over here to Revelation 17. We read it different times. And it's in verses 1 to 18. He shows this great harlot church, which is headed up by the beast, which is the empire that was wounded and comes back no longer as a true political figure, but now as a religious dominion. Okay, you notice the heads of blasphemy and all these things, and upon her forehead in verse 5, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. Now it says Mystery Babylon. The mystery of Babylon. In other words, the Babylon of religion, the religion of Babylon is right in this harlot and her harlot system. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, one with great admiration. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. And you know the answer unless you are completely duped and you are an insane type of an idiot because you've been brought up in a certain church. Which bunch of people killed the Christians? You know, the Roman Catholic Church. Smucker's Margulow, 68 million. What about St. the Eve, what is it, forget the Eve, over there in France, when they killed off the Huguenots. You know positively that the blood lies within her, and they have never apologized. The closest they ever came was saying, well, I'll tell you, if Pope John the 23rd had been Pope instead of Leo, then we know that Luther would not have left. That is a lie. Luther would have gone with Pope John 21st, Pope John 23rd, or a whole bunch rolled into one pope. He left. A lie is a lie. You know, they don't. You know what I'm talking about. What a mess. Now, verse 9, here's the mind that hath wisdom. Now, here you are. See this, if you can, it'll sink into your head. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, what was the last great empire? Rome. And that's all there is for. Starting with the Babylonian. Medo-Persian, Greek, and Roman. That's all. Those snuffed out by war come back another way. And you're talking about Babylonian religion. You're talking about the mystery, which is the religion of Babylon. It's right in there where the Virgin Mary has supposed to be the Son of Christ upon her knee, an absolutely Babylonish religion, and definitely says that the child is the husband of the mother. Coming from Nimrod. Well, you figure it out. You get a Trinitarian doctrine, you end up in the most ungodly mess in the world. And that's exactly what the Babylonian religion was. All right. So, we see this here. She was healed from pagan to papal. From Babylonish religion, she took all the trappings, as anybody knows. I don't care what scholar you read. If he's got an ounce of savvy, and most of those scholars have savvy, they will tell you that the Roman religion is absolutely nothing but Christian names put on heathen gods. Now, come on, read your histories. Oh, I know it's such a hush thing. You mustn't say a thing about religion. Oh, no, about a religion, no, because after all, nobody really knows, you know. Well, we do know. We know, we know. We're not going to duck in and say, well, hey, you know, I don't have 10 cents in my pocket when you got 5 or 6 dimes. You know, you don't act foolish. You just got to tell what's true. Okay, she believes the knowledge he tells her. See, that is, the church system believes what Satan tells her. Now, we don't, because we believe in vindication in this last hour. Now, watch it. It is that both engaged brides believe Satan's knowledge against God's word. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about Eve engaged to Adam-like. In other words, she was actually his wife. He had not yet got to her. And, of course, Paul had espoused the bride to Jesus, and he had not come for her and gotten to her either. Okay, let's look at the picture we find over here. The apostle Paul himself says. Now, look, and I'm going to read what Paul said. I don't care what anybody else says. Paul says here, for I'm jealous, verse 2, verse 2 Corinthians 7, I'm jealous over you, the godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, what is an untouched, undefiled woman waiting for her husband to be true to him? We sure don't have many of those in the land, I can tell you that, Roman Catholic or Protestant or anybody else. But thank God there's a couple. Now watch. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted. Three things right there. And it started way back there. Well, I ask a question. What three things, what one more thing, what one half of a thing would you need to add to this? You blow, it's gone. Wrong spirit, wrong Jesus, wrong word. That's what religion's all about. Christianity's all about. And you can see right here at the time of Paul that these Corinthians, which were pagans of the highest order, immoral and God knows what, had fallen away from the truth. Just as in the Ephesian age, he said, you left your first love. So, they've taken Satan's word against the word of God. Let me prove it to you. Because it says in verse 13, the same chapter, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. In other words, they say, we're the apostles of Christ. You listen to us. And you'd be surprised how many people listen. They don't require any proof. They don't require anything. Amen. You know, I can understand the Pentecostals having a problem with Brother Branham because they do have some things amongst them, real gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's true. I mean, that's the Bible. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied, cast out devils, raised the dead, everything else? And he'll say, I never knew you. He never denies the fact that was done. Amen. Just like Judas. Anybody, it can be done. See, but what really bugs me is how a church with nothing to back it even fights the very thing that could be some sort of evidence. So we got it. He said, that's right, you got it. You see, it's astounding when you think of it. You say, well, how could it be? Satan's blinded their eyes. There's nothing left. And no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. What Satan did in the garden, he has taught his clergy to do likewise. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed. In other words, Paul said, hey, listen, you fellas. Is it so hard to understand? Can't you see if Satan did it, his ministers would do it? What's the matter with you? Well, say, oh, no, I can't believe that. I just couldn't believe that. No, I got these nice people. I guess I'm not very nice because I've got the kind of faith Paul talks about. I'm too suspicious. Amen. I'm very suspicious. Yeah. There's death in the pot, brother. I don't care how good it tastes. Transformed as minister of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, what is their work? Deceit. In other words, they have aligned themselves with the deceiver. All right. The bride of Adam believed Satan's knowledge against God's word, and the bride of Christ has believed Satan's knowledge in this intellectual evil age against God's word. Now remember the Apostle Paul over here in chapter 10, 2 Corinthians already warned these people about this. And he said, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That says, hey, anybody knows this can't be right. Look here how this works. Why don't you just step aside and leave this? Why do you have to adhere to this? Hey, there could be more than one way. Don't you know there's more than one way looking at this scripture? That's what Satan said to Eve. Well, she said, do tell. More than one way. She was taken right there. Too bad. See, casting down reasonings. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, what's the highest part of your body? The head. So therefore, man allows his head to take the place of the head, which is God. Because remember, the head of man is Christ. I don't care what anybody says. The head of the church is Christ. So Paul is saying right here, what the people have done, they have substituted reasoning. They have substituted carnal knowledge. They've substituted their own thinking as the ultimate, when he was the ultimate amongst them, because he said, though you have many teachers, you have only one Father. He was the one that brought it. So therefore, when it says in Malachi, to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, what's he telling you? To turn it right back to the Apostle Paul. The original truth teaches the words. Like he told Timothy, he said, I've instructed you, you've got the truth, now you teach others. We go back to Paul. We don't go back to Pentecost. The message on the day of Pentecost won't do it, because it wasn't a message, it was a prophecy and a vindication of Christ the Messiah and his resurrection. But Paul preached the gospel. Come on. Paul said, according to my gospel, he's going to judge the world. And he, like I said the other day, Peter actually backslid. I'm not going to feel embarrassed about it. It's honest. It's God's truth. Peter tried to bring in circumcision to Timothy. And here's Barnabas, set aside by the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's right, that's right. Paul said, out! Wonder who spoke at that meeting and said, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas. I'm not saying it was a lie. I'm just going to bring the next point. What about genuine tongues and genuine gifts? That was one of them. But Barnabas blew it. You never hear his name again. It was Silas and Paul that the jail opened to. See? And Paul stood before Peter and he said, listen, if you do, that is what the Jews don't do, and eat with the Gentiles, and you live with them according to their way. Now he said, you come on right back. You deny that God gave you the right to open the door to the Gentiles. I want to ask you one question, Peter. Who sinned, you or God? Wasn't Paul that apologized, it was Peter that apologized. And he just said, he's the one who had to bow down, literally, I don't mean worship anybody, but he's the one who had to recognize Paul. And he said, our beloved Paul says things hard to understand, and people rest at their own destruction, but he had to come and vindicate Paul. And Paul stood right against him. Now listen, if you want to go back to those, that's all right. I want to go back to Paul. Amen. I'm a Gentile. I might have some Jewish blood. I'd have a tongue for all I know, but he ain't doing me no good. I'll tell you that. I'm not interested. See? Against the knowledge of God. And listen, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Paul was representing himself as Christ to the people. Amen. It's just strange, huh? Want me to read it? Yeah, you people know where it is. It's over here in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul here says, but you have not so learned of Christ, if so be you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. When did they ever see Jesus? When did they ever hear him? When did they walk down the street with him? You think a prophet, ordained prophet, is not God to the people? And then accept some pope or some preacher? Oh, yeah. Come on, brother, sister. Surely we're past the stage of folly. No, the church isn't, but the bride is. Yep, the bride of Adam believes Satan's knowledge against the God's word, and the bride of Christ believes Satan's knowledge in this intellectual evil age against God's word. And notice, even the natural believe it and plunge the whole human race to death. The natural bride, he's talking what a person can do physically. Here, this marvelous being, the natural bride, Adam, the natural man of the earth, his bride, before he got to her to be wife, plunged the whole human race into death. Whether it's scientific or not, we die just the same because God said we would. Whether you are in Holy Eden, now that's not sarcasm. Because she was. The tree of life was there. Immortality is there. Ready to be grasped and fulfilled. And right there she turned. Holy Eden. Or Holy Church. What Holy Church? Well, that's sarcastic. Holy denomination. That's loading sarcasm. Or whatever it might be. You'll die the day you disbelieve one word of God's word to be the truth when it's vindicated and proved to you. That's the day you separate yourself from God. Not just the whole sentence, one word. Whoever shall add one word or take away, that's the day you die. Let's go back and see if that's the truth. The last book of the Old Testament is called Malachi. And the last chapter is the fourth chapter. In the fourth chapter it says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, it'll leave them neither root nor branch." In other words, you are already at the white throne, whether you know it or not, and the judgment is past, and you, as sure as this earth will burn and everybody on it, the same much will go right to the lake of fire. The last great church movement, the last great church organization is the chaff, because the wheat comes out of the chaff. The Bible distinctly says at that end time, he will come with a fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his floor. And then it says he will fan out the wheat from the chaff. He will put the wheat in the garner, and he'll burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now I'm going to tell you something. The fire that hits in the Great Tribulation is the same unquenchable fire in the lake of fire. White throne is here whether you know it or not. You're not going to escape, brother, sister. Come on. Please listen to me and go back to the day of Paul. What was there in Paul's day? "He that hears me hears God," said Paul. "I'm vindicated. You know it. I'm not standing on junk and heathenism." And the end of the age says it's all heathen. And you've got to have what Paul had. Listen, come on, go to 2 Thessalonians. Come on, read the thing. That's not bandy words. If I read it 1,000 times, you'll know it 1,000 times better. In verse 7, first chapter, "You are troubled, rest with us." When? "When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who should be punished everlasting destruction," that's Malachi, "from the presence of the Lord and the glory power, when he shall come be glorified in his saints." Come on. When we're caught up to the marriage supper, there's 3.5 years to go before the fire falls and wipes them all out. Now listen to what it says. "When he shall come be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe." So he's coming for the saints to be admired, and he's going to burn them up that are left in the 3.5 years. Now listen, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. I'd like some theologian to tell me exactly what Paul said and meant. I say, "Brother Hotshot, that sounds very good. When I was a kid years ago, a man palmed himself off as a millionaire. And being an inane, stupid little jackass, I thought he was. Till the day I found out and proved he didn't have any more than I had, except a lot of lies. You think you've got money? Bring your bank account and show me. Bring me your letter of references. Show me your stocks and bonds. Don't tell me you got the prettiest wife in the universe and bring me someone that looks like a haggis bag or a dishpan full of warts. I didn't see anybody like that here. In other words, put your money where your mouth is or shut up. Listen, do you hear what I read here? In that day. Not this day. In 54 A.D. This day. Who are you going to call on? I'm asking the question. Wherefore we also pray always for you that our Lord would count you worthy of this calling. What calling? To be called in that day for the glorification that you believe the testimony. Now if it's just across the board and say, Hallelujah, believe Paul. I say, Hallelujah, but Bill, I got money. And I say, how much you got? Right? Yeah. We're going to go with the horse track and bet equal money? And if I got 20 bucks, you put your 20 bucks down. So, Brother Bill, I'm going to put $5 down. And you see, and when we get the money, I'll give you the other 15. I say, you kidding? I put my 20 bucks down, I get the odds. What are these guys talking about? I want to know. Look, when I talk this way, you can see how stupid religion is. How false and farcical. How hypocritical. What idolatry is in the ranks. See, I'm just using human reasoning and logic now. And if I can use human reasoning and logic and cut this to pieces, and you better come up with your answer, Brother Vail, I can prove what Paul said on the grounds. I know what he said. Ooh, we'll have fun right there. Because I'm with Brother Peter. Paul says some very, very deep things. They're hard to be understood, and you could rest them to your own destruction. Counting you worthy his calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in you and him, according to the grace of our Lord God, of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Now that started way back there and ends today. The hour of immortality, the hour of putting your hand to the tree of life. And you can't do it unless the book is unsealed. And I'm asking you a question, who is going to unseal it? Well, you say, that's not hard. Jesus is. Well, the Pope's his representative. Huh? Or is it Dr. Carey, the Archbishop? You know, Runcie just quit. So now they've got Carey. Falwell? Jerry Falwell? I don't know who the Assemblies of God is anymore. I don't know who runs it, but I don't know who they're going to do. You see, when you get down to the Word, it becomes pretty ludicrous. If you think you can reason, you can do it. Now, back in Malachi again, it tells you here that day's going to come, leaving neither root nor branch, but it said, Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before that fire falls, and you come back on the ash of the wicked. Because the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings, which is immortality. And he shall turn the heart of the, not the father children, no, that's been done by John the Baptist. And the heart of the children to the fathers, lest they come as may the curse. And I already showed you that Paul said, you can have a whole lot of teachers, but you got one father. Plain English, you got to turn them back to the beginning of the New Testament church, even to the very foundation where you honor what God said in order and by vindication, put it before the people. One word off, is Satan's kingdom. One word off is death. Look at 2 Timothy. Again, I want to indulge your kindness in listening, because you know I read these scriptures over and over. But you know what happens to you when you hear them over and over? You can suddenly find where you are in the Bible. Never could do that before, could you? I couldn't either. And we're learning a few good goodies. Okay, 2 Timothy 3, beginning at verse 1. And this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, and holy. In other words, everybody is going to have his own thing. You get 1,000 people, there'll be 1,000 opinions. 1,000 churches with 1,000 books. Now watch. Without natural affection. What's natural affection? That goes in different ways. It's like animals have a natural affection because there's a kinship and relationship. In all the hate and bitterness, there's no love in the nations today. And homosexuality proves it's not even sexual love. They're just filthy intercourse. Truce breakers. Well, you know what a truce breaker is? He calls off the peace. At the last day, the Son of Righteousness comes to bring peace. And they deny it. The Bible distinctly says they'll deny the Lord. They'll say no to Him. Behold, I stand at the door and I say, get away, boy. People say they believe this message. Do the same thing. They make it a doctrine. I can tear into that one. The doctrine is the definition or the word picture, the declaration. The exegeticizing of what is there. But that which is there is not what I said. It's only description. My Jesus is not a doctrine and not a description. Although if you want to bring it where it's logos, then He is the doctrine. We're not fooling. No, we're not in the oven like half-baked bread. We're in God's oven. Amen. Becoming bread for Him. You bet. One loaf, false accused, incontinent, fierce, despised those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than those of God, having form of goddess, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep in the house that lead captive silly women laden with sins, that are divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Seminaries are full of smart men. They know every argument outside of the book and many times inside the book, but they don't have the revelation. Ever learning, never coming to knowledge. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, false prophets anointed to do wonders and signs and miracles. Who withstood Brother Branham? Catholics don't even know about him. Baptists didn't care two bits. Pentecostals. Study their history. They never were with the Word. Good Baptists to put them to shame. Pit of pity, pity. Listen, I was Pentecostal for years. Then I got tired of them, went to Baptists, and got tired of them too. I'm a renegade. I admit it. So these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning faith. Isn't that exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees and the Sanhedrin did with Jesus? They said, for good work, hey, man, listen, we wouldn't stone you. We wouldn't raise our voice. We'd say, hey, brother, how about doing more? But listen, boy, when you called yourself the Son of God, you made yourself equal with God. See, the first son has equal rights. So it's all over. You cut your throat by your mouth. So did Martin Luther. So did Paul. So did Arrhenius. So did Martin, Columba, Wesley. They never got in trouble because they're good people. Oh, no. Everybody likes good, nice people. Word. That's where it was. Paul lost out because of the word. They turned on him, see? They said, but listen, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all, as theirs also. Paul said, one day this is going to halt. The end time is going to be over. And when it's over, it is over. All right, notice, Adam's bride caused natural death. That's very good. Look it. A son of God always was, always will be a son of God. Seed never changes. sons of God can fall. They can get into every mischief under high heaven. But they're sons of God. If we were in Him, as Paul said, and it's true somebody had to be in Him, then it has to be a natural death, not a spiritual. Although we are spiritually asleep until we are awakened by the Word that comes full of the Holy Ghost to wake us and bring us into an understanding of who we are. And even then, it's too bad the teachers have not taught us the truth. They try to make it like, here's a dog that turned into a lamb. Here's a sow that turned into a lamb. I can't buy that. I've never seen that happen in nature yet, and I don't think I'm about to. Adam's bride caused natural death to her race, the human race, and the second Adam's bride, Christ's engaged bride, has plunged the whole world, now listen, to a denominational death. That's the names of blasphemy. To take the mark of the beast by the scientific, intellectual, big denominations. In other words, they put reasoning, even within the Scripture, above revelation, and then they go back to their books. Holy Father said so-and-so. That's what he's telling. It's not going to work, brother, sister. It won't work. I told you many times how it is when I was in Pentecost. We had this guy named George R. Upton. He was up there in Canada where I was born. And I remember the time he was preaching. He said, listen, you people, I want to tell you something, and you get this straight. He said, we and our fathers came out of Methodist and Baptist and Nazarene. He said, you name it. Because new light came. That's why we came out. Let us beware lest future light should come and we turn it down. They turned it down flat as a fritter. See, listen, that's why the Bible said, by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned. Plunge the whole church, denomination of death, to take the mark of the beast by scientific, intellectual, big denomination. We're Baptists, we're Presbyterian, we're Pentecostal, so forth. We got this, we own more property. We're noted by the government, we're all around the world, such things. The mayor of the city and so forth comes to us. Even the president has mass said with us, and we're coming to this, that, or the other. The whole world has been plunged to a spiritual, denominational death. The whole church, she is dead. Okay, let's go to Revelation 3. And look what he said back there to a certain church. And in verse 20, Revelation 3 and 20, well, that's standing up there. It's not the one I wanted. here. In verse 21, and I want the second chapter, first of all. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of the deeds. Now watch. And I will kill her children with death. Kill with death? A second death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and will give unto every one of you according to his works. When did the church know that? There's a promise over here in the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Paul said that because he had the gift of discernment, same as William Branham. Now tell me, your bishop's got it, your preacher's got it, your church's got it. Tell me they got it. And I'll tell you, where you been, kid? You don't know what I'm talking about. William Branham with 5,000, could be 5 million, it wouldn't matter. He'd stand right there, take every spirit under control, and you couldn't hide if you tried. And that's not spiritism, because I know spiritism. I've seen it. Because he tied every spirit into a knot. Those that came with wrong spirits stood before him. He called them all by name. And a person, even with the woman of the cancer, and he said, aha, just a minute, he said, that cancer is calling for help. That's an evil spirit. And he said, the woman over here has got a cancer, and this cancer is calling that cancer help. And he cast that out, and he cast that out, and they're both healed. The devil doesn't cast out the devils. Don't understand people. Something's wrong, brother, sister. It's not with us. It's not with us. Okay, we saw this in Revelation, already reading it, the great harlot, how she's got all this power, she's going to take the world over. And then Brother Branham says, hypothetically, you're covering a lot of charity. The people said that to him. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, when 8 souls are saved, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now that's true, the coming of the Son of Man.
Jesus was known as the Son of Man, and he absolutely called himself that, and it had to do with his ministry. It was a Son of Man ministry. And he said, you're going to want to see that day, but I got news for you. You will not see it until there comes a time after the Son of Man is dead. It will come. How far down the road, he didn't say. But he said those days will be like the days of Noah and the days of Sodom. And in the days of Sodom, the homosexuals ran the government. How come the cancer patients, the lung patients, the TB and the heart and the kidneys, you name it, cannot get the money that these miserable, filthy, rotten homosexuals are getting? They can run me out of their church and take away my papers, okay by me. I'll still say it. Because they're the filth of the universe. Amen. They're the curses bringing the curse upon us. Amen. And the politicians stand back because they rattle the vote. Yeah. Yeah. God have pity. They'll like to be a home in the White House pretty soon. You'd be surprised how many men in politics tried and decided they didn't want it. I'm Pete Barry Blunt. I've got nothing to hide. Churchill admitted it. So much for your government. Yeah. Lot sat in the gate as the mayor. And he said, boys, you shouldn't really do this, you know. They pushed him to one side. He said, look, he said, this is bad. He said, I've got daughters in here. They already had husbands, too. What were the husbands doing? All looking for other men? You think we're going to get by this age without this age dying off? Listen, AIDS, you rot on your feet. While you're walking. Well, they asked for it. The days of Noah, the coming of the Son of Man, and the days of Lot. Three were brought out of Sodom. Eight got in the ark. Now there's already a group that's already up. Remember, Abraham wasn't down in Sodom. Who went down there? Two witnesses. Two messengers. The third one stayed out. William Branham marked them. Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. They went down there. So when Elvis Presley died, who dictated Elvis would be in heaven? Billy says, I'll see him in heaven. Ought to Billy be looking in or in there? I had a friend, her name is B. Harris. She highly disliked a man who was as hypocritical and as rotten as they come. I mean, he was sleazy. And B. let him know that she wasn't happy. So while he said, behold it, he said, you better like me because I'm going to be heaven with you. And she said, listen, I won't tell the name. She said, listen, bud, if you're where I'm at, I know I'm in the wrong place. You think for 1 minute you can take this word of God and mock it? See, I judge better in this book. Where are those men today in the light of the vindicated message? They're not even interested. Yet Billy knows the word must be restored. And this message we have is not a restored word of the school of the prophets and that restoration bunch that mounted to nothing. Amen. William Branham was vindicated. You say, because you say so? No. No, it's proven he's vindicated. What do you want? See? Now he said, there's a group already, I'll remember, but as it was when the Son of Man will be manifested. Can't come before then. The same ministry got to come back to earth. Look hard. Look where we're living. What's he talking about? He's talking about himself. His own ministry. Well, you say, that's not very bright. Well, why didn't Paul talk about somebody else's ministry instead of his? Amen. He talked about his own, and he bluffed Peter. It wasn't a bluff, I beg your pardon. He called Peter's bluff, and he called his hand. Amen. And he made their little old council. They all held and said, well, Paul, we got to talk this over. He said, okay, go ahead and talk. Well, Paul, It's evident as much as we hate to admit it. It's evident. You're to the Gentiles. Go, boy, go. So I'm going. That's what he's trying to tell us. I'm trying to tell you that when people let their minds in under any consideration, sin enters. See, that's our major problem. It's right up here, the high thing. The highest thing is the head. And I believe we're back to headship. The cornerstone is now the headstone, spiritually speaking. Jesus isn't here in the person of his body. Don't think I'm saying that. I am not. I'm talking about the one who laid aside his glory and took on flesh. Now, that's very hard to understand, but that's the Son of God. In the form of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire. And everything God does, he does through him. That compounds your mystery. But I'm not going to back away from it. Amen. At least I can say it, the Bible says. Now, at this time, she has caused the whole world to accept the scientific leadership of the educational program that Satan has given to her under the name of a church. That's right. The leadership of an educational scientific program. I'm picturing to you the God of this world. He's picturing the one in control that is controlling the others. When she, as Eve, had the very fulfilling of God's word in her hand. Here she was, right in front of the tree of life, and she fell into sin. She threw away the word of God when all she had was walk to that tree and take it. She had her choice for immortality. And the Bible distinctly says, now lest she stretch forth her hand, she stopped, and she will not have immortality. She will not live forever. No, she had it right there. The Jews, the same thing. Now, brother, sister, listen to me. Paul could not say that to the first church. It's only to the last church. Within our grasp is immortality. Now, you tell me, who's going to believe it? They're so chock full of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they do not know who is at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You have kicked me out. Larkin, everybody knows that's the understanding of it. William Branham was not the originator. He testified that Larkin was correct. The Larkin was not correct in the other places. Because the prophet corrects the errors. That's what the word is all about. Behold, I stand at the door. I said, we're not interested. I can understand that. I'm not interested in their church. It's passé to me. It's finished. It's snap-poo. It's gone. I can understand. I won't fight with them. See? She had in her grasp the fulfilling of the word of God. Positively. Is what she had. And she turned it down. She could have taken God's word, but what did she do to that? Instead of tarrying, Brother Branham preached the token for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She let science prove to her that the Holy Ghost is only for disciples. Yeah. Instead of keeping divine healing going, when she ought to be now raising the dead and doing miracles, she let Satan, under his leadership of religious men, take the word of God and try to say it was for another age. The apostolic age is over. And she believed it. Now, I want to stop here and let you know this. When we're talking about the return of the capstone, spiritually speaking, and remember the life is in the Word, and remember Satan's lie was in his Word and death in the Word. So she took Satan's Word, denying life, she came into death. So today we have the spiritual life of God in his Word returned. That's a conduit. And we, under its anointing, can, as we believe, as Brother Branham said, pile word upon word, and life, therefore, will be more abundant until that sweet Spirit of Christ can and will come into the church, the gifts of the Spirit on the shelf, as it were, and the sick amongst us be healed. We've seen some of it here, but not nearly enough. What I'm telling you is the progression that should be in the church that they lost, but has been returned. Now, that doesn't mean the church is going to do great miracles, signs, and wonders, because the vindication of the word is over. Now you believe it. There are people trying to preach, you got to reprove it. Hey, I don't need any proof about this and that. I was with him too many years. Spent too many hours. I'm not interested. I don't care what my ministry could take at raising the dead if it did raise the dead. And I think on one occasion after prayer, there's men with me, the man was raised from the dead. But I'm not going to try to prove anything. I know jolly well that cancer disappeared, blind eyes open, deaf spoken, everything, deaf heard, and so on. Tumors of the brain just disappeared. I never had a failure with a little child under 2 years of age that has cerebral palsy or tumor or hydrocephalus. Never had one failure. God helped me discern almost, and I shouldn't have been even doing it. So I couldn't go back to that, because that's not right. That's not what God wants. It's this message, the life that's in it, is the healer, because the Son has risen with healing in His wings, and He is the Word. So there should be a progression. And I'm saying this not to fault anybody, but to encourage you. When I was so desperately sick out in Tucson, I heard that tape out there played over and over, and I was so desperately sick sitting there. My God, have pity. And that was perfect faith. And it got so negative. The building just was dark with negativity. Couldn't wait to get home. You can hear Brother Branham's message and go so negative, you'll die. Amen. Peter warned that about Paul. I'll continue. This message is not to be negative, brother, sister. I'm trying to encourage you. There's something for you. Not big mass healing. But there's life for you. There's help for you. You can be healed. I'm believing in healing. Let's believe the Lord together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You this hour knowing that Your grace and mercy is sufficient. There is nothing that's too hard for the Lord. And we realize, Father, we're not trying to tell You to be something other than You are, because that would be blasphemy. But You named it concerning our problems, concerning our ills. And You swept them all away as concerning Your power and Your ability and Your desire and Your compassion to do good. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, the blood was shed, and He died and rose again, taking captivity captive, coming back in the form of the Holy Spirit, setting His church in order, and has now come back again to hit it. Lord, that shows that there isn't anything that hasn't been provided, even as Paul said, if God spared not His own Son, but freely delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? And we see that tonight here, Lord. We're even going so far to know that there are people here that are going to become immortal. I believe that. I might not be. I may have to go to the grave, Lord. I appreciate that. Get the best of both worlds. I know that's possible. And I have no problem with You, Lord, on that. I may have lots of problems myself. But I believe in Your vindication in this hour. And I believe people sitting here. Yes, some people sitting here. Absolute candidates. Right to the tree of life. Invited. Walk right over. Right to the gates. Lord, I believe this has been separating time. Amen. I believe it's been. And I believe, Lord, You want to heal Your people. I pray tonight, Lord, the sick amongst us will be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I pray, Lord, for our good friend, Brother Elmer Hodge, who has great faith in the ministry here, who believes that is being taught right. Lord, honor his faith tonight, I pray, as You've honored ours so many times here, where people have been wonderfully healed, wonderfully helped, Lord. The great grace of Almighty God. Father, I pray in Jesus' name He gets His help tonight. I believe He does, Lord. Be able to sleep good tonight. Rest is secure and fine. Grace of our God taking Him all the way through. Same with the people here, Lord, tonight. Little children, adults, wherever they are. The wonderful love of Jesus. Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that's indwelling this wonderful Word that He gave us. As David said, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, I might not sin against Thee. For Thou, Lord, hast exalted Thy Word above Thy name, and I'm putting my trust in it. We thank You for that tonight. Thank everybody present, Lord. Certainly do appreciate every person here. May feel each person feel right at home. Enjoy the presence and sweetness of our Christ, the love of Almighty God. No, we're not trying to hurt anybody, Lord. Not even trying to build a case. But bringing out this Word in the only way we know how, Lord, to show there's nothing outside of it. Teach people, Lord, to respect and love it and feel secure and understand. There's no place else to go. To where, to whom would we go? As the Apostle said, we're convinced, we're sure, Thou alone has the Word of eternal life. They knew what it was all about. Even in the most peculiar moments, they said, now we're sure You know what You're saying, that You're the Son of God, You came from God, and You go back. Lord, I never could figure how they could say that under those conditions with those words. But Father, I know Your way is peculiar, it's wonderful. And so tonight we also can come to that same place, not understanding but knowing. You see, now we know. Conrad, to the place of that secure knowledge, the proven word of the living God. We commend ourselves now for the further part of this service in Jesus' name, amen. Foot washing and communion, part of our services. I appreciate that very much. Part of the church order. Most people do not wash feet. It's too bad they don't, but they're supposed to. Now, you'll notice in John 13, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was coming, he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, you see here that Jesus is going to do something because of his great love for those with whom he'd have this fellowship. See, he loved them all along. And now this is a little peculiar, you'll understand, that this is going to be a great act of love. He loved them right to the end. Now he's going to do something. So this very peculiar thing he does, loving them right to the end, supper being ended, the devil now having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now remember, at the end time, they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. Amen. So there's got to be a betrayal again. Got to betray the word. Now they're doing it now by writing all kinds of lies about Brother Branham. And I say, hop to it. They've told enough about me, so let them tell something on him now. Just spare the goodies. Just spread them around. You're going to hear more and more lies about the man. More and more stories that are patently false and ridiculous. It's got to be. You understand? It's got to be. A prophet cannot be anything but destroyed as far as the people are concerned. They killed John the Baptist. They sawed asunder Isaiah. Poor old Jonah just turning his back on the Lord got swallowed by a whale. I don't say the Sanhedrin did that. Daniel got thrown in the fiery furnace. You know, you just don't have it easy. See? So now, at the time, there's got to come a time of betrayal. Amen. One of the last things Brother Brandon did was talk about love to the people and the communion and fellowship. So, all right, Judas is going to betray him. Time to be sold down the river. The word of God, sold down the river. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hands, and he's come from God, went to God. He rises from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, poured water in a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel wherewith he's girded. Comes to Simon Peter, and Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? What's going on here? And Jesus said, what I do now, Peter, you do not know, but you will know down the road later on. And Peter said, no, it isn't right. There's no way that I can let you do it. It's not that I don't love you. I really love you. But I couldn't let somebody of your caliber do that, your stature do that. So Jesus had to set him straight. Just like Paul set Peter straight. He was a guy that needed quite a lot of comfort. He said, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, uh-uh. If I washed enough, you've got no part of me. Then watch him go overboard. Lord, then not my feet only, my hands and my head. There's a man that knew how to repent. He apologized for what he said to Paul. He came right around. That's a great fellow, that fellow Peter. Wonderful man of God. Wonderful person. Jesus then said, no, now hold it. You're overboard again. Don't swing the pendulum all the way back. He said, come to center. He that is washed need not save to wash. He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. There's one person that's not right. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So after he washed their feet and taken his garments, was set down again, he said to them, know ye not what I have done to you? You call me Lord and Master. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have been an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, the verily, servant is not greater than the Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him. For if you know these things, happy are you that do them. So, all right, we have the Lord's Supper connected with foot washing. And Jesus positively gave us these ordinances within the Christian church as a final act of his love. Now, that may not seem interesting. It may not seem intelligent, and I'm not going to try to explain it, But the fact is, this was his last act of love in this particular area of being with them. Because from this point on, you will find with the betrayal that everything begins to get scattered. So while they are together, he does this wonderful act of love, which is to wash their feet. And he said, now look, he said, you do the same thing with each other in commemoration of my great act of love, my sincerity and my rightness. I came from the Father, I go back. This is typical then of everything you attribute to me. And they might have said, well, hey, I think you could have done something else, but he didn't. See, that's the simplicity of believing. Can we believe that this one, in his last moments, instituted communion and foot washing as an act of commemoration, an act of his love, and this is what he wants us to do. Now, if we really believe that, there's going to be a spiritual blessing here, because he said, look, the cleaning is very, very necessary. There's something terribly necessary about this commandment, about this ordinance. It's very, very vital to you. So do not hold it lightly. Do it, because it's very valuable. It's necessary in my plan and in the things which I've set before you. So many people give so many interpretations, and there are views, many myself taking Brother Branham, what have you. But I just wanted to leave this thought here, that they at that time, I know they didn't realize that this was necessary. It was important. It was something that was valuable and valued. So I want to just impress on that tonight. When we take the supper of the Lord, we understand that's the shed blood. We understand the broken body. We understand the life coming back upon us. We also understand this, that this actually, in the light of the rest, shows there is something that you and I have this to do with each other, wherein we had nothing to do with the shedding of the blood and the broken body. That's something that God did entirely. But in here, we show our faith and our part of the great plan that God set before us. Let's rise at this time, shall we? The brethren come forward to serve, and they'll help you how to come around the side and up front here, and we'll have two lines in order to expedite the service. And then as the women go out, there's foot washing in the hall out there. The men simply come back to their seats, and there'll be foot washing immediately afterward. So that's fine. Those, of course, who play, you come right along here, because we're going to need you to take the emblems first, and then you can take your part where you're supposed to take your part. Are we ready? Just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, this particular part of the service, we're in the Lord, having loved his own, loved them to the end, and then did this which even wrought questions in the mind of Peter, even though he could voice them. The others seemingly were silent. Judas gone out. But Lord, they didn't understand, and many things we don't understand, but if you say, it's written in your word, that this is what you did in the final part, that life that you loved and were in, ready to give yourself, then Lord, we also know this is what we ought to do, and we do it. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Bless the emblems to us, Lord, we pray, O living God. So it is not just a matter of taking something, but realizing what it stands for, and realizing also the life that has come back upon us, even to the extent, Lord, that you can be here now with healing in your wings. What a magnificent testimony to the blood. When we see what's in the world, Lord, and you mark it so clearly in your word that is there, and we see it so clearly that is in the world, it makes your grace all the more wonderful and makes us realize that circle of blood causes sin to vanish until there be no sign of it, making us non-sinners, Lord. Couldn't make a man sinner when the blood has scattered the sin. Thank you, Lord, for these things you allow us to do. We give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lloyd will help you here and give you an understanding if you need it. Now, tomorrow's service at 10 o'clock. We start a half an hour earlier because so many people have to leave in the afternoon to get home. We appreciate your attendance tonight and trust some good has been done to you, starting in the mind, the anointed word, down into the soul, which we know someday is going to accomplish what Eve failed to do. She could have had the word fulfilled in her, but she didn't do it. But tonight, there are those who will, for she praised God. Let's rise and be dismissed.